Welcome to The Cooler Ring, a podcast for manufacturing marketers brought to you by Cooler Partners. My name is Jeff White, and joining me today is Carmen Perry. Carmen, how are you doing, sir?
You know, I'm not doing bad. I'm joining you just a few days before a bit of summer holiday, so it's pretty hard to be in a grumpy mood, you know? I mean, I can be. Anybody that knows me knows that I can do grumpy pretty well, but...
Yeah, but I mean, at least your flight isn't on Air Canada.
Yeah,
so. You're good. Okay. Well, this is going to be another one of those episodes similar to one we did a little bit ago, where we're just interviewing each other. And in this case, I'll be interviewing you to find out some of the things that you've been doing around artificial intelligence and leveraging AI, and not in the ways that I think a lot of people think agencies use AI.
Yeah, I don't even know if I'm going to say it's agency. I think just kind of maybe thoughts on how people in the world of marketing and sales can use the technology.
Yeah.
I'm very aware that we're recording this conversation just like a day or two after the New York Mag article where they're talking about Altman and Schmidt kind of cooling the jets on the AI hype. Maybe it's not all it's cracked up to be, kind of shifting the attention away from AGI. Stock markets reacting even in the last 24, 48 hours negatively to that. So it's interesting to be having the conversation and being very aware that it's a changing thing. So I guess all that to say, I'm probably going to disagree with myself just moments from now. Especially once this thing is live, who knows if I'll agree with any of it, but I invite listeners to listen along and see if there's something that they can pull from it that is kind of maybe useful in how you use the tools.
I think, you know, there's no question that there are going to be things that are useful. I think, you know, some of that Altman hype, you know, the Anthropic CEO is, you know, he's got about a month left till he had proclaimed that all software would actually be written by AI and no longer by developers and engineers and humans. And we're nowhere near that being the case quite yet. So I don't think the bottom has fallen out of a lot of the marketing related requirement for humans, but humans can certainly make good use of these tools.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So a lot of the way that, you know, and I think your use of these tools goes above and beyond my own. I think you've really delved more deeply into this than I feel like I have. And I've learned a lot from kind of watching how you're utilizing them. And a big part of that is, you know, you've sort of talked about AI and, you know, related tools as your research intern a bit. And I'd love to dive a bit deeper into what you mean by that and how you're using it and explore maybe some of the things that you've learned and found along the way.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think, look, using AI for research is not certainly not new. I mean, I think people, it's probably the first use that people use the tool for, you know, is whether they're researching something personal or for work. So when I say this, I guess what I mean is how to think about your use of the tool, how to think about your prompt. And I find that it is helpful to think about it as like the world's smartest research intern, or at least the world's most keen. In that, you know, it will do precisely what you ask it to do. And you don't have to tell it certain things twice. And so I think it's just a helpful lens to think through. If you can imagine like the most keen junior research assistant intern you've ever worked with or whatever times 10, if you think about your prompts that way, you know, you can get some pretty interesting outcomes. But I guess the one little twist to that I might add, Jeff, is that one thing I think people do when they're mentoring junior team members or what have you is that they sometimes soften the language a little bit just to make it understandable. Like they take jargon down a little bit, or they don't maybe explore incredibly advanced concepts because, you know, an intern or a junior isn't there yet. And that's the one area where I think if you're using that research intern kind of lens, they maybe need to flip it on its head a little bit, which is to say, I think in your prompts, you're a lot better off if you do get incredibly detailed, if you do in some ways communicate to the AI how smart you are and what you know about the topic, because it helps frame up where it goes from there. Does that make sense?
I think it does. And I think where, you know, you can really explore the concept of what you're trying to impart, you know, this, but not this, you know, and based on these other things that you already know about, the AI, the assistant can come back with a research report or information that is more tightly integrated with what maybe you're hoping to see.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, maybe a really interesting example would be, like, I guess, I think every marketer, my assumption is that every marketer, if they're tackling a problem, particular challenge, whatever, they can imagine information that would be good to know, but the juice just isn't worth the squeeze to get it, right? Like, there are things you could be sitting there thinking, you know, it would be really nice if we knew this, 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 and this, and if we could explore that and knew that, how that intersected with this over here, that might help shape our decision a bit, but, you know, that's a five-week project and $80,000, and we're not going to do that. Well, you know, there's... I think AI can shortcut some of those things now. So as an example, we were into this conversation with a marketer some time ago who was marketing for an organization that's kind of, it's basically a PE-backed industrially roll-up, without getting too specific. and they were really struggling with some kind of odd brand challenges, right? And they just hadn't really thought through the impact of brand strategy on exit valuations and how that, you know, as a PE-backed entity that was going to be doing a bunch of M&A over the next 3 to 5 years before that next flip, you know, how does a brand strategy attach to that? So if you're having that conversation, you're thinking, well, geez, it would be really nice to know within related or tangential categories how house of brand strategies and branded house strategies implemented in a roll-up, how those two brand valuations have shifted. Like when eventual exits have happened, you know, is there any data out there to let us know that indeed a branded house is more successful than a house of brands or vice versa?
Before you go too much further, and I know we don't always do this, but can you explain the difference between house of brands and branded house?
I could, but actually I would say if you're listening to this and you don't know, then go to AI and search a difference between house of brands and branded house, because then that will prove the use of the tool. But so, you know, in that moment, you're sitting there thinking, well, yeah, that, you know, you could do research. You could find out in related categories who have conducted roll-ups, what their brand strategy was, what multiple they exited for, and do some comparisons. You can imagine that research in your mind if you're a somewhat of a marketer. Good luck executing it. But man, now, like, you're one prompt away from getting a bit of a taste, a bit of a snapshot, some signal to noise. And I think that's just... it's just a really powerful use of a tool for research. If you think about, I guess, again, letting it know a little bit about what you already know, you'll get a little bit more out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't mean to sidestep your branded house versus house of brands question. It's just, man, we're going to go down 10 minutes.
Well, I wanted examples, you know, all of this. So
I know where you were going. That's why stopped that right now.
I think part of what makes that so powerful too, just in terms of the, you know, yes, you could do this. You could give an intern an 8-week thing or a huge budget to go and try and find, and you know, how many rabbit holes are you going to go down that don't yield fruit? And you know, that's mixing metaphors a bit, but the rabbit holes that don't yield fruit. But part of what makes it so powerful and able to come back with results that you simply wouldn't be able to find easily on your own is it's rather dispassionate in terms of how it takes in what you give it, you know? And do you think that makes, I don't know, because, you know, any time, even if you're speaking with a very intelligent person who is a category expert or whatever, they're obviously going to have a propensity to believe certain things, and you know, they're less dispassionate, so you may not be getting a more objective survey of whatever kind of query you're looking into.
Yeah, a bit of a different type of research, I suppose. And maybe even we talk about, like, even if you're as a marketer, maybe you're doing customer interviews, or maybe you're having conversations with the sales team to better understand what they're dealing with. Even if you're out on a ride along or something like that, you can imagine recording the conversations that you're having. I mean, there's pretty ubiquitous ways now to ensure that, especially if it's video chat or something like that, it's incredibly easy to get transcripts of that kind of conversation. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think the dispassionate side of it really comes in, to your point. Like, I think it's because it's a better, in some ways, AI is a better listener, or a less biased listener in some respects. Like, because I think, a marketer, it's easy to be into an hour-long conversation with a salesperson about the buying journey that they take people through, and kind of how it works. You're trying to understand it, and so you can help them improve it. But you'll come to conclusions on your own pretty quickly. Like, you know, you may only be into that conversation for 10 minutes and you think you've already gotten the nugget. Whereas if you were to upload the entire transcript of that conversation to AI and ask it to give the top 5 marketing takeaways or what have you, you'd probably be pretty surprised at some of the other elements beyond the one that you've identified that it surfaces. Because it's just, again, it's a little bit more dispassionate. I think another cool use, Jeff, is I've known people that have used this for sales coaching.
Oh, yeah.
Where they've taken, like, basically, you know, many sales organizations have a model or a bit of a coach or whatever that they subscribe to, or a sales process that they try to adhere to. So you take some of that curriculum, upload it to AI, and then basically, as you're having sales conversations that are recorded and transcribed, you can upload those transcripts and ask the AI to be a sales coach and to analyze your sales calls or what have you, and how well they align with the prescribed curriculum, et cetera, that the organization has been rolling out. Is it perfect? No, but it's shockingly good and incredibly inexpensive. Most people aren't making the decision between okay coaching and amazing coaching. They're making the decision between coaching and no coaching. Mm-hmm. So this at least gets you to, you can get there pretty cost effectively now.
Yeah. And I just to go back to your point about taking a discovery transcript or something like that and trying to find out get the AI to tell you what it thinks the key takeaways are from that, to make sure that you're not locking in that thing that you just heard that aligns with your sensibilities in the matter. But the other part too is that you can build on these, not, you know, from the sales coaching side, from the, you know, manufacturer understanding side. You know, if you're doing multiple discovery interviews with multiple salespeople, you know, trying to parse all of that information yourself while also being a good host and extracting as much as you can means that you're not necessarily able to objectively look at all the different bits and pieces, but you can upload, you know, a dozen transcripts and kind of whittle those down to the key points to make sure that you fully understand it. Now, that's not to say, like, that this should replace the hard work of an expert, in terms of harvesting the useful information, but it can help guide that and shorten it and ensure that you maybe find things that you didn't even think of.
Yeah, I was going back to that intern comment from earlier. I mean, you wouldn't give an intern a project and then never look at the output again, just put it into the wild as though it was gospel. You wouldn't do that. You're going to check it and help it refine it, make it better. So, yeah, you should be thinking about doing the same here.
Yeah, for sure. Well, the subject of that intern or you know, maybe just more junior marketers in general, you know, they're often reporting up to people, you know, they have to convince their superiors who aren't necessarily marketers or salespeople or, you know, any of the roles that we typically help out with, but they have to convince those people to either open their pocketbooks or make a decision on something. How can AI help those people understand how to communicate things better to their superiors?
Yeah, to your point, it's not just the juniors, you know. I mean, it could be a VP of marketing, and you need to, you know, you're pitching a campaign strategy and significant investment to the CFO and the CEO and a few board members or something.
Yeah. There's always someone higher up the ladder than you.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that in some ways, you know, it can be very – one thing I've noticed, and a lot of marketers, I guess, that I've met over the years is – they, you know, it's almost like the CFOs are from Mars, marketers are from Venus to, you know.
Didn't you write a blog post called that in like 2006?
I don't think so.
But are you sure?
If I did, then it's really interesting that it came back and I don't remember. But, but you know, it can be really hard to put yourself in the position of that. You know, using AI to say, you know, through the lens of a hard-nosed CFO who has repeatedly said no to requests for marketing investments over the last 5 years and tends to be incredibly skeptical about the value of marketing in industrial categories, how would you improve on this strategy to make it most palatable to that kind? You can imagine that kind of a prompt, what you could begin to get out of it to just improve the quality of the output and how you're thinking about addressing objections, particularly from people who are going to be looking at whatever it is you're proposing through a different lens than you're bringing,
Again, this is about... You know, there's a certain amount of introspection required here to even be willing to, you know, it's weird because you're only exposing your, you know, yourself to the computer. It's, you know, it's not even like you're dealing with what other people might say if you ask them, how could I make this better so that Jimmy in the C-suite is more likely to buy? You know, most people aren't really willing to kind of take that kind of coaching. You have to be thinking about it in a different way.
Yeah, but I mean, look, I encourage folks to just even so much as just this is the task that I was doing. This is the output that I've created. Ask me 50 hard questions about this to help me make it better. You know, and then buckle up. you know, it's an incredibly effective way of using AI to just make what it is you're doing better. It's not about replacing humans. It's about making the human output, just frankly, more thorough and considered. Yeah.
This is not about using it to craft hundreds of blog posts.
No.
but I mean, to that end, in providing your output, your work, your strategy, anything, any piece of content, you know, AI is really good at also finding out what you don't know, but it's potentially just as good at finding out what it doesn't know and looking for gaps in that way.
Yeah, that was I've seen a couple of really cool uses of AI for that, where people are basically prompting to try to understand the areas of, like, within a certain area of academic research or thought leadership or what have you, rather than thinking about it as a like research assistant, go out and find me what's out there. You're kind of asking, find me what isn't out there. What are the key topics that tend to be undercovered by? You can imagine how you can begin to use the tool and prompt the tool to find gaps. If you're building out a content strategy or a thought leadership program for your CEO, well, maybe you're it's a CEO of a packaging manufacturer or something of the sort. So you're like, okay, well, one of the key themes for the organization is sustainability. Well, you're going to find kind of hard to stand out on that topic, right? But I would bet if you leveraged AI in that example, we could begin to find what are the areas of sustainability intersecting with the packaging industry that tend to be not talked about, tend to be less understood, less widely discussed, even begin to and find ways that some of those less discussed things intersect with emerging regulations or other kind of impacts that are going to make them more important in the future. It's just a different way of thinking about using the tool rather than saying what's out there, tell me what isn't.
Yeah. And this can be used a couple of different ways. I mean, you can do that and then publish content about those things with your own thoughts and research and become the answer for that and start to show up, in other ways there. You can use that as a strategic advantage for your organization or like I have a good friend of mine who is also an agency owner in Pennsylvania and use this similar tactic to write a book about things that nobody else had really talked about in the higher education space. So he was actually prompting it and, when it wasn't able to come back with answers, that's what he wrote about. And that was how he structured his book. So kind of a, pretty interesting way of thinking about things.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it does beg the question, is there no information out there because nobody wants to know about this?
Yeah, maybe nobody cares.
Yeah, I do think it's an interesting use of the tool. And I think just even the act, it's kind of a bit of a, I like those kind of contrarian
approach. You like the contrarian thing.
Because if you can start thinking, about that, you'll also think in other different ways about the use of the technology, if that makes sense.
No, I that makes a lot of sense. As we kind of wind down this episode, this has been really fascinating to kind of explore these areas with you. Some of these concepts are, probably not the first things people think of when they think of interacting with a GPT. But there are some other kind of more tactical ways of using this so that marketers can begin to learn how to interact with an AI tool, especially I've seen some great uses around kind of building persona bots and things like that. How do you think that should come to life?
Yeah, I mean, that's been one of the earliest uses I think that we had as an agency for leveraging AI was to kind of try to get into the head of buyer personas a little bit more and round out the profile of a buyer persona in AI and then use that to query for areas that might feel content strategies or what have you. I do think that it's a nice tactical way to use the tool to get inside the head of who you sell to a little bit more and kind of understand the information that they're ingesting in a deeper way potentially. But I mean, look, even everything that we've talked about on this show, Jeff, I guess, we're not at the absolute bleeding edges of AI advancement here. We're not vibe coding anything. We're not, setting up agents that are building other agents, et cetera. But I do think that it's surprising to me how little use the technology is, even in the areas that we've discussed.
Yeah.
I talk to marketing organizations every day that haven't really got beyond using it just as a bit of a glorified Google.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think there's lots of advantages yet to be harvested, and folks ought to dive in head first, you know.
And I think once you do, and you begin to see the power, and it begins to shape your thinking, it's pretty compelling.
Yeah, it just helps people understand that it's not something to be scared of, which is
absolutely
a weird thing to say, but it's surprising to me how prevalent that is. Even some research that we have coming out in a month or so here at Cooler Partners looks into the use of AI by industrial buyers and kind of examines that a little bit by organizational size. And kind of interesting to see the small and medium size industrials maybe leading the way in AI experimentation and usage. I think that there's something to be said about a bit of a lack of resources fueling the use of a tool that can help be a bit more efficient and take some shortcuts. So I think we live in interesting times, and I hope people get some use out of this episode.
Yeah, well, I certainly have enjoyed it. It's been a great conversation. Thanks so much.
Thank you.